There are crimes born of rage, crimes born of fear, crimes born of desperation. And then there are crimes born of something far colder. Adam Montgomery didn't snap. He didn't panic. He didn't make a terrible mistake in a single moment of lost control. He made a decision to beat his 5-year-old daughter until she stopped moving. A decision to hide her body in places no child should ever rest. A decision to lie for years while investigators searched and a mother grieved. A decision to erase her existence from the world as if she had never drawn breath. This is not a story about addiction, though drugs were present. It is not a story about poverty, though money was scarce. It is not a story about bad circumstances, though circumstances were dire. This is a story of a cold-blooded killer who happened to be a father. Welcome to Among Monsters, a podcast that examines the evil hiding behind ordinary faces, familiar roles, and trusted titles. I'm your host, Maya Vale. Before we continue, I need to tell you something important. This episode contains disturbing details involving severe child abuse, violence against a minor, and murder. The details are graphic. The facts are difficult to hear. If you need to step away, I understand. But these stories matter. They matter because they're real. They matter because they happened. And they matter because they could happen again if we look away. When we think of monsters, our minds conjure strangers, predators hiding in dark alleys waiting for victims, figures lurking outside school playgrounds, dangers we can warn our children about. But what happens when the monster doesn't lurk outside? What happens when the monster is already inside the home? What happens when the monster is given legal custody? What happens when the system itself opens the door and invites evil in? Sometimes monsters don't hide in shadows. Sometimes they sign custody papers. Sometimes they're called dad. Tonight, we tell the story of Harmony Montgomery, a little girl with vision problems and a damaged eye who needed protection, medical care, and love. A little girl who instead received violence, isolation, and death. And we tell the story of the man who killed her. Not because we want to give him attention, but because understanding how monsters operate is the only way to stop the next one. This is Adam Montgomery, cold-blooded killer, father. June 7th, 2014, Manchester, New Hampshire. Harmony Montgomery entered a world that was already hostile to her survival. She was small, smaller than most babies. She had vision problems from birth. One of her eyes was damaged, requiring immediate medical attention. She would need glasses, doctor visits, specialists. She would need stability. She would need routine. She would need parents who could put her needs above their own addictions. She didn't get any of that. Harmony's parents were Adam Montgomery and Crystal Sorey. Both were deep in the grip of substance abuse. Methamphetamine, opioids, whatever they could find. Their relationship was a cycle of chaos, breakups, makeups, violence, reconciliation, more violence. And Harmony was born directly into that storm. Before she could walk, Harmony was already a case number, a file on a social worker's desk, a name on a court docket. She bounced between relatives who didn't want her, foster homes that were temporary by design, emergency placements made at midnight by exhausted caseworkers. Her entire existence was paperwork. Court dates she'd never understand. Case files documenting every failure that led her to the next placement. And at every single step of the way, people saw the warning signs. They saw them. They documented them. and they failed to act. Adam Montgomery was not an unknown person. He wasn't some tragic figure whose darkness was hidden. His violence was documented, official, a matter of public record. Years before Harmony was born, Adam had shot a man in the head during a drug deal. Not in self-defense, not by accident, he pointed a gun at another human being's head and pulled the trigger. The victim survived, but barely. He was left permanently disabled, his life fundamentally altered by Adam's choice. Adam went to prison, and when he came out angry. He came out addicted. He came out more violent than before. This is the man who, in 2019, was granted custody of a 5-year-old child with special needs. Let me say that again. A man who had shot someone in the head. A man with documented violence. A man actively using methamphetamine and crack cocaine. That man was given full custody of Harmony Montgomery. The system didn't just fail Harmony. It handed her directly to her killer. We need to talk about Adam Montgomery. Not because he deserves our attention, but because understanding how people like him operate is essential. Adam Montgomery was not misunderstood. He was not a victim of bad circumstances. He was not failed by society in ways that excuse what he did. He was a violent man who chose violence, repeatedly, with deliberation. People who knew Adam described a pattern, control. That was his primary mode of operating. He didn't have explosive outbursts that came from nowhere. His anger simmered, it built, and then it was deployed strategically. He ruled through intimidation. People around him walked on eggshells, never knowing what would trigger him, but always knowing something would. His violence wasn't random. It was a tool he used to maintain power. And by the time Harmony came to live with him in 2019, Adam was deep in addiction. Methamphetamine was his primary drug of choice. It kept him awake for days. It amplified his paranoia. It shortened his already minimal patience. He was also using crack cocaine, drinking heavily. The combination created a man who was constantly vital, unpredictable, dangerous. And Harmony became his target. According to testimony that would come years later, Adam treated Harmony differently than the other children in the home. She was isolated, punished more harshly for minor infractions, blamed for things completely beyond her control. She wet the bed sometimes. Many 5-year-olds do. Adam beat her for it. She cried when she was hurt or scared. All children cry. Adam beat her for that too. She existed. And her existence enraged him. Why? That's the question, isn't it? Why does a man target a small child with such specific cruelty? Psychologists who study child abuse suggest several patterns. Sometimes the child represents something the abuser hates about themselves. Sometimes the child is a reminder of a relationship they resent. Sometimes there's no reason at all beyond the simple fact that the child is vulnerable and the abuser has power. In Harmony's case, she may have reminded Adam of her mother, a woman he had a toxic, violent relationship with. She required resources he didn't want to provide. Medical care, glasses, doctor's visits. She needed attention when he wanted to use drugs. She was there, small and defenseless, when he was high and angry. The specifics almost don't matter, because regardless of the reason, the result was the same. Systematic, escalating violence against a child who couldn't defend herself. Kayla Montgomery would later testify about what life was like inside that house. She was Adam's wife, not Harmony's mother, and she lived in terror. Adam hit her, threatened her constantly, controlled where she went, who she talked to, what she said. She described a life where every decision was calculated to avoid his violence. What to cook, when to speak, how to react. Everything was a potential trigger. I want to be clear about something. Kayla Montgomery was a victim of domestic violence. That is a fact. But she was also an adult who watched a child be beaten and did nothing to stop it. Both things can be true simultaneously. Understanding her fear doesn't erase her responsibility. Harmony had no defense at all. She was 5 years old. She weighed maybe 40 pounds. She had a vision problem and needed glasses she often didn't have. Witnesses who would later come forward described seeing Adam punch Harmony in the face. Not slap, punch. Closed fist, full force, against a 5-year-old's face. He struck her head repeatedly, slammed her into walls when she didn't move fast enough, called her name so vile they made court reporters flinch when reading transcripts. This wasn't discipline. The word discipline implies teaching. It implies boundaries set up to help a child learn. This was torture. Systematic, escalating, designed to inflict maximum pain and fear. When Harmony cried, Adam got angrier. When she flinched away from him, he escalated to violence. When she tried to protect herself by making herself smaller, quieter, less visible, there was no escape. Other children in the home witnessed this. They saw Harmony being beaten. They heard her crying. They watched her become a ghost in her own life, trying desperately to avoid attention, to avoid existing too loudly. And still, no one called the police. No neighbor reported anything. No teacher raised concerns because Harmony wasn't in school. No doctor flagged missed appointments because no one was taking her to the doctors. The system designed to protect children had already forgotten she existed. And inside that house, the violence escalated. Not because something changed, but because violence always escalates when unchecked. It grows. It intensifies. It finds new depths until it reached the moment that was always coming. The moment when Adam Montgomery's violence would go too far. Late 2019, the exact date is unknown. No one marked it on a calendar. No one noticed the world had one less child in it. No one asked where Harmony was. According to later testimony, Adam Montgomery beat Harmony Montgomery to death inside their home. He became enraged with her. The specific trigger doesn't matter because there was always going to be a trigger. He struck her repeatedly. He punched her in the head and face with closed fists. Again and again, with the full force of an adult man against a 5-year-old child's fragile skull. At some point during that beating, Harmony stopped moving. She didn't get up. She didn't cry anymore. She didn't take another breath. Adam Montgomery did not call 911. Think about that for a moment. His daughter was unresponsive in front of him. Maybe there was still time. Maybe CPR could have helped. Maybe emergency responders could have done something. We'll never know, because Adam didn't call anyone. He didn't try to help her. He didn't show panic. He didn't display any of the reactions you might expect from a parent whose child had just died. Instead, he wrapped her small body in a blanket. And then he focused on one thing, only one thing, getting away with it. This is where Adam Montgomery revealed who he truly was. Not in a moment of rage, not in a moment of panic, but in the cold, calculated hours and days that followed. Because what he did next shows premeditation. It shows consciousness of guilt. It shows a man who knew exactly what he'd done and made a choice about how to handle it. He chose concealment. He chose lies. He chose to make his daughter disappear. What Adam Montgomery did with his daughter's body is one of the most disturbing aspects of this case. Not because of the violence itself, but because of how methodical it was. This wasn't a panicked father making desperate decisions in the immediate aftermath of a tragedy. This was careful planning executed over days and weeks. Harmony's body was moved multiple times. First, according to testimony, she was placed in a refrigerator in the home. Then she was moved to a car trunk, hidden there while Adam drove around, went about his daily activities, used drugs, lived his life. His daughter's body was in the trunk, and he went to McDonald's, bought cigarettes, acted normal. Later, the body was stored in a ceiling vent. Eventually, it was transported away from the area entirely. Each move was calculated to avoid detection. Each step was designed to erase evidence. Each decision showed a man who was thinking clearly, planning ahead, covering his tracks. Caleb Montgomery helped him. This is another difficult truth. She assisted in moving the body. She helped clean up. She participated in the concealment. Later, Kayla would testify that she did this out of fear, that Adam controlled her through violence and threats, that she believed he would kill her if she didn't comply. All of that may be true. Domestic violence experts confirm that this level of control and coercion is real, documented, common in abusive relationships. But Harmony was a child, a dead child, and the woman who could have called police, could have told someone, could have stopped this, chose not to. Out of fear, out of survival instinct, out of her own trauma. The reasons matter for understanding, but they don't change the result. Harmony was gone. Her body was hidden like trash, treated with less dignity than you'd give a dead animal on the roadside. And Adam Montgomery, he went on with his life. He bought drugs. He fought with Kayla. He interacted with other people. And no one knew that he'd killed his daughter because no one was looking for her. No one was looking for Harmony Montgomery. Here's where the story stops being about just one monster. Because what happened next is a failure so massive, so systematic, so inexcusable that it implies dozens of people in multiple institutions. For nearly 2 years, no one reported Harmony Montgomery missing. 2 years. 730 days. No school notice, she never enrolled. Think about that. A child of school age simply doesn't show up. No registration, no enrollment, no attendance records. In most districts, this would trigger automatic flags. Truancy officers would be sent to the home. Social workers would follow up. But Harmony? She fell through every crack. No doctor flagged missed appointments. She needed ongoing care for her vision problems. She had medical needs that required regular monitoring. But when she stopped showing up, no one called. No one checked. No one followed up to ask why a child with documented medical needs had vanished from the system. No caseworker followed up on the court orders. This is perhaps the most damning part. There were court orders in place, legally mandated wellness checks, official requirements for monitoring a child who had been placed with a parent with documented violence and addiction. Those checks didn't happen. Or they happened on paper only. Boxes were checked, forms were filed, but no one actually laid eyes on Harmony Montgomery. Responsibility was passed around like a hot potato no one wanted to hold. I thought someone else was monitoring her. That wasn't my case anymore. I assumed the school was in contact. Assumption after assumption, failure after failure. And meanwhile, Harmony's body was being hidden, moved, concealed. while caseworkers filed reports they never verified, while teachers taught classrooms Harmony would never enter, while doctors saw other patients and never asked why this one disappeared. A child became invisible, not because she was hidden so cleverly that no one could find her, but because no one was actually looking. This is the part that should terrify us. Not just what Adam Montgomery did, but what everyone else didn't do. The collective failure, the shared negligence, the way an entire system designed to protect children simply forgot one existed. Crystal Sorey, Harmony's biological mother, contacted police in Manchester, New Hampshire. She hadn't seen her daughter in years. She hadn't spoken to her. She didn't know where she was. Now, Crystal had her own issues, addiction, instability. She'd lost custody of Harmony for documented reasons. But in late 2021, something made her reach out. Maybe it was sobriety. Maybe it was maternal instinct. Maybe it was gnawing feeling that something was wrong. Police began attempting to locate Harmony. They contacted Adam Montgomery, and Adam lied. He claimed Harmony was living with relatives in Massachusetts. He claimed she was safe, happy, fine. He claimed everything was perfectly normal and Crystal was just being dramatic. But investigators didn't stop there because something didn't add up. They contacted the relatives Adam mentioned. Harmony wasn't there, had never been there. They tried other family members, no Harmony. They contacted schools in Massachusetts, no enrollment records. Every single detail Adam had provided was a lie. So investigators went back to Adam. His story shifted. Now Harmony was with a different relative. No, wait, she was with her mother. Actually, she'd been sent to Florida. His timeline changed. His details contradicted each other. His lies compounded, collapsed, rebuilt themselves into new lies. The investigators began talking to other people. Neighbors who lived near Adam's last known address. Had they seen a little girl with glasses? Some had, back in 2019, but not since, not for a long time. They talked to Kayla Montgomery. And that's when the truth began clawing its way to the surface. January 2022, Adam Montgomery was arrested. Initially, the charges weren't murder. They couldn't prove that yet. He was charged with being a felon in possession of firearms, with child endangerment, with theft. He'd been stealing from jobs, but investigators weren't done. They knew something far worse had happened. As the investigation deepened, witnesses began coming forward. People who had been too afraid to speak before. People who'd seen things, heard things, knew things. Children testified about what they'd witnessed. The beatings, the escalation. The day Harmony stopped moving. Kayla Montgomery, facing her own charges, began cooperating with investigators. She described the violence, the murder, the concealment of the body, the lies that followed. Piece by piece, the prosecution built their case. Not just about what Adam had done to Harmony while she was alive, but about what he'd done after. Second-degree murder, abuse of a corpse, falsifying physical evidence, witness tampering. The charges were filed, but there was a problem, a significant problem that would haunt the trial. Harmony's body was never found, despite extensive searches, despite bringing in cadaver dogs, despite checking every location Kayla had mentioned, despite digging, searching, investigating, Harmony's remains were never recovered. Adam had hidden her too well, or disposed of her in a way that left nothing to find. Somewhere, her body still lies, unknown, unmarked, alone. This meant the prosecution would have to prove murder without the most crucial piece of evidence. Without a body, without physical proof, with only testimony, circumstantial evidence, and the documented pattern of Adam's violence. It had been done before, but it was never easy. And Adam Montgomery wasn't going to make it easier. The trial of Adam Montgomery was brutal, not because it was particularly long, but because of what the courtroom had to hear. Witnesses described violence so severe it made jurors flinch, so systematic it left no doubt about Adam's intent, so cruel it defined the imagination of people who'd never witnessed such evil. Children testified, children who'd lived in that house, who'd seen Harmony beaten, who heard her crying, who watched her try to make herself invisible. They described specific incidents, times when Adam punched Harmony in the face so hard she fell, moments when he screamed at her for wetting the bed, then beat her, days when Harmony would sit in corners, silent, trying not to exist. Neighbors testified. They heard screaming. They'd seen bruises. They'd wondered if they should call someone, but they didn't. Medical experts testified about the injuries Harmony would have sustained, the force required to cause those injuries, the impossibility of survival given the severity of the beating. Kayla Montgomery testified. This was perhaps the most anticipated and most difficult testimony. She described her fear of Adam, the control he exercised, the violence she witnessed and experienced. And she described the killing, what she saw, what she heard, how Harmony stopped moving, how Adam showed no remorse, how they moved the body, hid it, lied about it. The defense tried to discredit her. She had her own charges. She lied before. She helped conceal the body. All true. But her testimony was corroborated by others, by the timeline, by physical evidence, by Adam's own lies. The prosecution built their case, not with a body, but with a pattern, a documented history of escalating violence, testimony from multiple witnesses, Adam's constantly changing stories, his consciousness of guilt. And through it all, Adam Montgomery sat silent. He showed no emotion, no remorse, no tears, no acknowledgement of what he'd done. His defense was simple. I didn't do it. Kayla was lying. The witnesses were mistaken. Harmony was alive somewhere, being hidden by her mother to make him look bad. The jury didn't believe him. On all counts, guilty. Second-degree murder, abuse of a corpse, falsifying evidence, witness tampering. Adam Montgomery would spend the rest of his life in prison. He would die behind bars. He would never walk free. But there was no celebration, because Harmony was still gone, and her body was still missing. Harmony Montgomery has no grave. No headstone with her name and dates. No flowers placed by people who loved her. No final resting place where her mother can visit and grieve. Somewhere, her remains still lie. Hidden by a man who treated her death with the same callousness he treated her life. Discarded by the father who was supposed to protect her. Investigators continue to search when they get new information. Tips still come in occasionally. Volunteers still look, but New Hampshire is vast. The places Adam had access to are numerous. The time he had to conceal her was extensive. She may never be found. That's the reality we have to face. But her name is known now. Her story has been told. Her life, however brief and painful, has been documented. She existed. She mattered. She deserved better than what she got. And her death exposed cracks in the system that's supposed to protect children. Cracks that still exist. Cracks that other children are falling through right now. Adam Montgomery wasn't a mystery. He wasn't some hidden danger that no one could have predicted. He wasn't overlooked because there was no warning signs. He had shot a man in the head. He had a documented history of violence. He was actively using methamphetamine and crack cocaine. He had no stable housing, no stable income, no support system, and a court gave him full custody of a 5-year-old with special needs. This wasn't a failure of one person. This was a failure of a system. Overworked caseworkers carrying impossible caseloads. Courts making decisions based on incomplete information. Schools that didn't follow up on missing children. Doctors who didn't flag missed appointments. Neighbors who saw but didn't report. Each failure seems small in isolation. One missed wellness check. One skipped follow-up. One moment of looking away. But together, they created a perfect storm. A situation where a child could be murdered and hidden, and no one noticed for 2 years. The hard truth is this. Systems don't protect children. People do. Systems create frameworks. But people have to act. People have to make phone calls. People have to knock on doors. People have to ask difficult questions. People have to report what they see. And when people assume someone else is watching, children die. Adam Montgomery will grow old behind bars. He'll wake up in a cell every morning. He'll eat prison food. He'll follow prison schedules. He'll exist in a 6x8 space for decades. And eventually, he'll die there, forgotten by the world, remembered only as the man who killed his daughter. Harmony Montgomery will never grow old. No first day of school photos, no birthday parties with friends, no middle school dances or high school graduations, no first love, first job, first apartment, no adulthood, no children of her own, no life. Just 5 years. 5 years of pain, neglect, and violence. Ended by a man who gave her life. Buried in silence. If you suspect a child is being abused or neglected, please report it. Call Child Protective Services. Call the police. Call the school. Call someone. You might be wrong. You might feel embarrassed. You might worry about overreacting. But what if you're right? What if that call saves a life? What if your willingness to act is the difference between a child living or dying? Fear protects monsters. Silence empowers them. Speaking up saves lives. Harmony Montgomery deserved a childhood. She deserved protection, love, safety. She deserved to grow up. We can't give that to her. But we can honor her memory by making sure the next child doesn't fall through the cracks. By watching. By asking questions. By refusing to look away. I'm Maya Vale, and this has been Among Monsters podcast. Harmony Montgomery, June 7, 2014 to late 2019. Gone but never forgotten.